You're listening to When Christians Speak Online Talk Radio, broadcasting out of the Washington, D.C. metropolitan area. Today's voice crying out in the wilderness, prepare ye the way of the Lord. When Christians Speak is dedicated to lifting up the name of Christ Jesus and spreading the good news.
Join us for our weekly broadcast, His Abounding Grace, with Minister Vanessa Williams. That's every Tuesday at 7 p.m. On Wednesday afternoons at 1 p.m., join Reverend Gwendolyn Dixon for the Midday Glory Prayer Line. The dial-in number is 641-715-3580. The access code is 732-499. And Wednesday nights at 7 p.m., Challenge to Change, where real transformation begins with you. That's with Pastor Paul Morgan of Chosen Generation Ministries in Richmond, Virginia. On Thursdays, live at 12 noon, join Reverend Pat Randall for Declaring the Finished Work for an hour of worship, exhortation, and prayer. Reverend Ray and friends are here on Friday nights at 7 p.m. with the Joy of the Lord on Friday Night Joy. Sundays at 7 p.m., join Reverend Ray for Bread of Life for a Word in Season. And don't forget our monthly broadcast. First Mondays of every month at 7 p.m., be blessed with the teaching ministry of Apostle Shirley Jones on Lifeline. On third Mondays at 7 p.m., join Evangelist Lewis McElwain for Adoration, a broadcast of worship and ministries on the mission field. Second Saturdays of the month, join Reverend Curtis, Reverend Novena, and Minister Jordana for Bold and Beautiful, a youth and young adult broadcast setting the world on fire with the love of Jesus. And on fourth Saturdays, Alabaster Box at 7 p.m. with Prophetess Carla Johnson, where she shares a broad range of topics to help believers persevere and overcome. All broadcast times are Eastern Standard Time.
Christian Speak Talk Radio is a non-profit ministry. We are dedicated to spreading the gospel of Jesus through our programs and special guests. We exist through the generous support of our listeners. If you are being blessed through this ministry and would like to give a love offering, go to our website and click on our donation page. Your donation will be processed through PayPal. Our prayer is that you may prosper and be in good health, even as your soul prospers.
Unto the Lord, for He
When Christians Speak Talk Radio is a 501c3 nonprofit ministry, so all of your gifts to this ministry are tax deductible. So go out to our website, www.whenchristianspeak.com, and click on our donation page.
Challenge to change, where transformation begins with you. Change appears to be one of the biggest hindrances to growth and relationships that I have encountered while in ministry. Our focus is usually on someone else and what they have done or are doing to us, instead of us being accountable to God and making sure we're not a stumbling block to ourselves or others. Challenge to change is about us taking personal responsibility for our Christian walk as we face challenges and issues and how to overcome them through biblical tools and techniques that we will discuss on this show. Everything about this show is encompassed in us depending on the Holy Spirit to edify, enrich, and transform lives by introducing individuals to a personal encounter with God's unconditional love. That is where real transformation begins and ends.
We're talking about transition, from going from one place to another. And I got a young lady that I want to come up and give her testimony about how this ministry has transformed her life. Miss Kim Booker, would you mind coming up and sharing?
Okay, slightly nervous, so praise the Lord.
If I say exhale.
Oh, yes, thank you. Looking at the clock. All right, so been a Christian all of my life. Preacher's kid, stereotypical preacher's kid.
Amen, yep.
where I've known the word of God, has been in me, have been taught, know what to say, know how to act, all of those things, but realized as my life went on that somewhere I just didn't really believe it for myself, if that makes any sense. Like, I trusted God for other people. I prayed for other people, and I believed for their success, and I believed for their blessings and their growth and all of those things, but somewhere along the line, I didn't really believe it for myself. And so when I came here, well, back up, I was at another church for a while and ended up leaving there because it just felt like it was time, and just prayed for God to show me where it is that I needed to be, and ended up coming here and realized very quickly that the way that Pastor taught was exactly the way that my heart needed, was exactly the way that I needed to hear it. It was just very practical. And I think that, like, even when I came up and was welcomed to the church, like, I started crying, and it was just like, why are you crying? And it was just like, because I immediately felt loved. I immediately felt like I was a part of a family. And
it's okay.
And I just immediately felt like, no, this is where you're supposed to be. This is where I've placed you. And the things that you've prayed for, you know, my mind to be changed and be connected even more to God and just to learn who I am and who I'm supposed to be is this is where it is. So all of that being said, specifically confessions, that's something that, you know, growing up as a Christian, you confess and you believe, and that's how you grow your faith. But it wasn't until I got here that I really started confessing and building my faith up, and specifically in the area of finances, how we would go over, okay, give with joy and not grudgingly. And I was praying, I was like, Lord, do I do that? Like, I give my tithes and my offering, but he showed me, no, you're doing it out of obligation. You're not doing it because you love me and you're doing what I ask you to do. And so I started praying for God just to change my heart in the way that I see how I give. And also, during that time, I was working a part-time job and was, I mean, like, all the time tired, just all the time tired. And God was like, okay, well, you can quit the job if you want to quit the job. And I was like, Lord, yeah, I do want to quit the job. I do want to quit the job. And if I believe what I'm confessing, if I'm believing the things that I'm being taught here, I believe that you're going to take care of me, especially because I'm tithing and I'm doing the things that you're asking me to do. And immediately things just started happening after I stopped tithing. People started sending me money, just random. People started sending me money to cover things, like my car broke down and it was the exact amount. I started getting checks in the mail. And after the second check, I was like, wait a minute, where is this check? Where is this check coming from? And when I looked, I realized it was a refund from a student loan that I was paying on. And the student loan was $21,000. And talk about debt cancellation and money coming from place unexpected sources. When I got back in touch with them, they were saying, no, you've paid $7,000. You're paid in full. And I'm just like, what do you mean I'm paid in full? Like, it's a $21,000 student loan. And they're like, no, you are paid in full. And I looked at my credit report, it said paid in full.
Come on now.
And so I just, I just wanted to say that part specifically, just to say that I appreciate this ministry. I appreciate the simplicity in how things are explained. And I enjoy the interactions. I enjoy people saying, no, well, this is what I'm going through. You know, it helps me tremendously. And I'm still growing. I'm still getting to know people. But I feel like I'm growing. Amen. And I appreciate it.
Amen. Amen. Thank you. Thank you. Amen. Thank you. Let me give that to Rawson. Amen. And we didn't pay for that endorsement. All right, guys, let's do our opening confession. Let's talk about confession. All right? So see, Cynthia, we listen to you. We all ready. Just put it at the top. You in agreement? All right, y'all ready? Holy Spirit, override any obstacles that have hindered me or are hindering me from receiving my freedom in you. I renounce and cancel the effects of receiving any accusations and lies into my mind, body, soul, and heart that is contrary to the truth of who you say that I am. I declare that I live my life loved, cherished, and adored by you. I receive in my heart every expression of your love for me. Because you love me, I am free of all guilt, shame, and condemnation. In Jesus' name, amen. I noticed that she shared about that 20,000. Y'all confession was a little louder this morning. Yes, sir. I heard it. All right, guys, so we're talking about transition, a movement or evolution from one form to another. So if you're a babe in Christ drinking milk, then you should be graduating to drinking meat. I mean, eating meat. We had our men's breakfast this morning. Where the chef at, right? Chef right here. He cooked us a meal. And we ate some meat and potatoes, right? Where else we eat? You was back there. Bacon sausages. And ham. Yes, sir. So we ate this morning. We feeling good. So we're going to pay attention. All right. So 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 10, it says, but I urge you, believers, by the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, that all of you be in full agreement in what you say. So how many of you guys know you got a soul and a spirit? So you need to be in agreement. Your soul needs to be in agreement with your spirit. Your spirit is where the real you is. And so as a result of that, you need to make sure that you tell your body what to think and what to do. Okay? So it's going to come out of your spirit, man. And it says, and that there be no division or factions among you, but that you be perfectly united in your way of thinking and your judgment about the matters of faith. So don't doubt your faith. Let me write this down. Make an excuse to believe. Because people love to make excuses, right? Right, Candace? They love to make excuses. So make an excuse to believe. So I'm going to, if you need a pad and paper, just lift up your hand. We want to make sure everybody is able to take notes, because what did we find out after 24 hours? How much you forget? 90%. So we want to make sure you remember stuff, okay? Ooh, because your life depends on it. So we will be talking about God as a planner. We're talking about God uses words, and God uses people. So I'm not sure which one I'm going to go to next, but this is the last in the series about words. But I'm not sure which one I'm going to go to yet. I got to seek the Lord and see whether he want me to plan on the planner or plan on the people, okay? So we've been talking about how man uses words, because we talked about how God uses words. And so we talked about all these categories, the purpose of words to do these things. But for this last part of the series, we want to talk about man using words to create, man using words to establish or to make firm or stable, and man using words to bless. So these are the three areas that will, so you can create your own life. In fact, we are living the life that we, y'all write this down. We are living the life that we spoke of. We are now living the life that we spoke of. Boy, life is rough. What kind of life you living? Boy, life is good. I'm excited about coming home to my family. What kind of life you living? So I'm going to get into stuff now. All right? I'm going to keep on going. Man's words, a man's self shall be filled with the fruit of his mouth. So what does that mean? He's going to eat what he says. And when they use the word man, that's mankind. That means womankind is in there. All right? With the consequences of his words, he must be satisfied. So you keep talking sickness, so you got to be satisfied by what? Sickness. You keep talking, my relationship is messed up. My marriage is jacked up. What are you going to be filled with? You won't even see the good that the person does. Y'all ever been that angry with somebody? I'm not going to get y'all raised hand yet. Y'all ever been, I mean, a person give you a gift, $100. You've been asking for roses. They bring roses home. What? They got red instead of white. Come on now. What else? You're going to find something because you've been saying something. Oh, still got thorns on it. You're going to, see, y'all already told me. Reverend Jay, they already told me they've been arguing with somebody. Okay? All right, let me move on. But check this out, guys. It says death and life is in the power of your actions. Did it say that? It says death and life is in the power of the tongue, and they who indulge in it shall eat the fruit of it for death and life. So what are you talking about? What are you talking about? So how many of us know the Christian talk the way you talk in church? What's Christian talk in church? Everything good. Hallelujah. What else? Too blessed to be stressed. Blessed and highly favored. What else y'all say? Don't see this. That's a t-shirt. Too anointed to be disappointed. Alright? That's a t-shirt saying. Alright? Girl got a t-shirt cup. Alright? All right, so, and I gave y'all a handout last week. Y'all remember that? Okay. All right, so look. So, since we've been viewing, I got to go quick. So, I'm going to talk to y'all a little bit. So, these were the categories. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10. Those are the most consistent categories that most people will speak into. Now, I'm not asking you to talk about you, but I'm going to mess with you a little bit. So, what are some things that you have said about yourself if we started to look at the words about ourselves? What are some things that you want to share? Just raise your hand so a mic can come to you. Ross, you got any on this side? Okay, there we go. I see this one on this
side. The other day, the Holy Spirit reminded me that, like, in the college years of my life, like, if I would tell a story, like, let's say I forgot to pick something up from the store, I'd be like, my dumb A forgot to do blah, blah, blah.
Okay, all right, my dumb A, okay. Y'all know what A mean? Okay, all right. Just check. Monty, like, don't say it, Pastor. Don't say it. Yes, ma'am.
Okay, for me, one of the things I typically say about myself is I'm shy.
Okay.
And because now I know how my words manifest into my actions, that is probably what has prevented me from being able to feel comfortable about speaking in public and, you know, getting up and praying.
Okay.
In public, out loud, things like that.
Okay, all right, appreciate it. Nice. With another hand. Yes, ma'am.
I've said that I don't know what I'm doing.
Okay, ooh.
And I'm all over the place.
Okay, I don't know what I'm doing, and I'm all over the place. Appreciate your honesty. Y'all going to say something different after the day, though, right? Yeah. Okay, amen. They'll look and see who it was. Who was? They'll want to see? Okay.
Mine was I need to lose weight.
I need to lose weight. Okay. All right. Yes, ma'am.
I had a habit of always saying I'm sorry.
I'm sorry. Okay. All
right. For anything.
Okay.
And everything.
Okay.
But what I should have meant was I apologize or I understand or forgive me. Okay. But I was saying that I was lowly and undeserving and sad.
Okay. Appreciate your honesty. Yes, ma'am.
Mine was, I used to say about myself, I couldn't do like my mom and my sisters as far as office work.
Okay.
And more recently, it's been, I accomplished that.
Okay. All right.
Okay. I used to say that I had that dreaded disease called no acetol.
Okay. Okay. I like it then. All right. Okay.
But I don't say that anymore.
Okay. Amen. Everybody look at me. I see who that was. All right? Yes, ma'am. You got the mic.
I used to always say that I was scatterbrained.
Scatterbrained, okay.
But I don't say that anymore.
Okay, all right. Yes, sir.
What's the difference between apologizing and saying I'm sorry?
Ask Michelle.
Michelle, what's the difference between apologizing?
Apologizing says that I acknowledge that I did something wrong and I'd like you to forgive me. Saying I'm sorry is like bowing down in a lowly fashion and begging for forgiveness. That's not what we are meant to do. I mean, it's just you're just debasing yourself all the time with "I'm sorry." If you look up "sorry" in the dictionary, it ain't a good thing. If someone says, "Oh, he's sorry," you know that ain't a compliment. So saying that "I'm sorry" is the same type of thing where you're saying that you just don't matter.
So the impact of words is, in order for her to say "I'm sorry," she has to put herself in position where she will make mistakes enough. You follow? This thing real, guys, about words? Yeah. So that's how that works. You have to line up with your words. Right just there. I can't go any further than my words. Uh-oh. I can't go any further than my words. Miss Ashley smirking over there. I see you, Miss Ashley. I can't go any further than that. It's okay, guys. It was supposed to happen. Okay? Just resting. I'm reading it. It was supposed to happen. All right? So I got to hit this one right here about relationships. I'm going to get y'all to close your eyes on this one. Will, shut your eyes. Shut your eyes. Everybody, shut your eyes. Shut your eyes. Okay? Raise your hand if you have challenges in your relationships. Okay? All right, you can put your hands down. All right? You can open your eyes. Since nobody knows, then I'm just starting to ask a couple questions. So they don't know whether you raise your hand or not. So what have you been saying about your relationships? And like I said, this is just input. You got one here. Oh, you got one in the back, Miss Ross, in the far back. Security guy got a statement.
I feel like all my life, okay, I have said that girls are hard to get along with.
Okay.
So as I look back at my female relationships, you start to see that.
Okay, all right. So based off words, if she picks somebody that's easy to talk to relax with, to chill with, who's she going to pick? No. Huh? Somebody's heart. You know, like what you said, when you have a problem with patience and you look in the grocery line and Kev, you just see only one person in that line. But all your life, based off your words, you've been saying, Bonetta, that I'm having an issue with patience. So Bonetta sees this line right here that has six people in it, and she'll move over to this line right here that only has one person in it. And guess what? The lady or the man will run out of ticker tape. Okay? And then won't know how to put the ticker tape in there. So then they got to call the manager, and the manager come over there. Then the manager, he comes, and he don't know. Okay? See how God be flowing? She say, "I've done that." Or, "I didn't know how to price that." So whatever you say, you will be drawn towards that very thing that you have said. If you say, "Man, I always pick the wrong person." Oh, guess what? You got the wrong person. You can't go any further than your words. So what else? Somebody tell me. You had your hand up, right? Yes, sir. Security, you good? You sure? Okay, all right. I got one here.
I've said that I'm fine by myself.
Ooh, okay. All right. Why y'all cringing? Or am I just the only one cringing? Huh? I'm the only one? Why would I be cringing? Ooh.
Right, but
hold on. Cameron, she got me started. Now, why y'all smirking? Because she one thing, but the devil is a legalist. Y'all know, anybody have been in court and they won't let you finish your statement, ask a question, and they say, you know, it's like such and such, and you go to explain, and they say, "No, just answer the question." So the devil is a legalist. What you meant was this, but you're a married woman. But if I'm better by myself, then that means I got to get rid of my husband, I get rid of my children, I get rid of what else? Got to get rid of my family? Huh? You say you're fine by yourself. Oh, you're fine. I'm fine by myself. Okay, so what does that mean, though? If we're legalists. So who else she got to get rid of? God. I'm fine by myself. Huh? Got to get rid of the dog? Huh? Now, please don't think that I'm picking on you. I'm just taking your word. Because Satan is a legalist. He takes what he wants to interpret it as, not what we meant. Follow me? Everybody got it? All right, I'm going to keep moving. Wayne, I'm going to let you go ahead, and then I'm going
to
keep moving.
I always used to say I can wait. I can wait for my turn. I don't mind being second in line, in the background.
Okay.
So it always manifests. It seems like it never fails when I'm going to the toll booth.
Uh-huh.
I always find the one that the guy in front of me has trouble putting in their money.
Okay, yeah.
And I just got to wait and sit there.
And then Banana behind you beeping her horn. Okay, all right. So guys, I'm hoping that you did your homework on this, or your seat work, or your church work, because, guys, this is real. You cannot live. Okay, Kim, go ahead.
No, I was just going to say, when I was a teenager,
uh-huh.
I was with my grandfather, and I don't know what I did, but whatever it was bad.
Okay.
And he threw a milk carton at me.
Okay.
And he said, you dumb bunny.
Okay.
And so sometimes, even to this day, if I do something backwards, that word will pop in my head.
Okay. Appreciate your honesty. So write down on your sheet, you got to forgive your granddad. You got to forgive your granddad and create new words. Okay? This serious stuff, guys. It was so traumatic to him that he forgot what he did. You follow me? But whatever the situation that comes up where it's a challenge to him, he's going to hear, you dumb bunny. You follow me? This ain't real, guys. It's real. I definitely want you to look into what you said about, I mean, all of the areas, to be honest with you. But for the sake of time, I just wanted to see what you said about relationships and yourself. You cannot go any further than the words you spoke. My dad said, because he was, the term they always use is self-made man, which I don't believe in because no man can make themselves. But but he did a lot of things, you know, carpentry, you know, a whole bunch of stuff. And it went in my DNA because I was too busy running the streets to hang around and see how he made things, built things, changed things. But this one thing he said was, gentlemen, any of you all ever, gentlemen and ladies, Ms. Audrey, ever change oil on your car? And you just got one screw that you got to undo and the oil starts seeping out. Well, when he went to do it, because he put engines in our cars before and all this, but when he went to do that, the screw broke. And I heard him say, that was the one time I was around, Sharon. And he said, man, I don't care how easy it is, for the Morgans, it's always going to be something. Curl, am I lying? And I mean, I didn't know first, Ashley. I just knew that every time I went to do something, I'm a Morgan, so it was going to be simple. And it didn't turn out like that. And then one day, you know how, if you marry, you marry, right? So you know how you speak life to your husband? Mm-hmm. So one day I'm working on something, and my wife see the frustration. She see it. I'm frustrated. Because, see, the background is playing. If you're Morgan, it's always going to be something. Sean, you like working on stuff. And so one day I'm frustrated. I walk in the house just stumbling, throw my tools down. And my wife said, honey, it's not true about you anymore. You operate under a totally different anointing. It's easy for you. Pick my tools up, went outside. Yes, sir. I got this thing. I got it, man. And from that day on, I started saying how easy it is for me to do anything because the anointing of God is upon me. You got me, Todd? But see, I didn't even realize that thing was playing. That's why I want you guys to realize this thing is playing.
Testing. Because I'm a Morgan as well, and I know that people's words affect generation to generation. Okay. How do I break that?
No, we severed that, sir.
Okay. Because sometimes when I try to plan weekend events or something, but maybe that's the Lord trying to.
Yes, it is.
Okay.
The Lord working with you. How many of y'all all or nothing thinkers? One day I'm going to teach you about, okay, how many of y'all all or nothing thinkers? Just raise your hand. All or nothing thinkers mean that you don't see in black and white. It's either always, it is always 100% right or 100% wrong. There's no middle. Raise your hand. I'm going to teach you on that one day, about all or nothing thinkers. Because that's what God is working with you on, is all or nothing thinking. If it's not totally the way I planned it, then it's a failure. You follow me? Y'all know people like that?
Yeah.
Turn to your neighbor. Neighbor, is that you?
Neighbor, is that you?
What? Okay. Okay. Uh-huh. But That's it. He doing that Blake Shelton thing, doing like it. Okay, go ahead.
Yeah, I agree with Jazz. You know, I always hear my dad, especially when it comes to cars. He always, you know, said we'll always have problem with our cars.
Yes, sir.
And I remember I had a Elantra, and it broke down on the side of the road. And then, like, every car that I've had, something's been wrong with it. And so, especially with, you know, finances as well, you know, Dad always said, yeah, we always struggle with finances. Yeah. And, you know, now I feel like it's affecting me as well. So I'm prayerful that we'll
Just like with Kevin, you got to forgive him for those things that he said. Okay, so write it down or type it in or however, text it. All right, so those are the categories. So all you got to do is on your own time, you take a look at that. And don't minimize or rationalize, meaning that, well, I know my dad didn't mean that, or my mom didn't mean that, or that's not what they meant. Allow the Holy Spirit to show you your words that you have spoken. So in any area of your life where it's not going well, there's something in there about the words that you spoke, okay? Certain people get a career job, they get a job every, you know, and then something goes on, they get disliked, they don't like the person, they don't like the job, they get a new job every 3 years. It's something in there. About three. You follow me? Yes, sir.
Yeah, you know, I was thinking about the all or nothing thing. For me, it depends on what it is. If I'm really good at something or confident at something, I don't think that. But if I'm not or if I need to work on it, then I think it does become all or nothing. I can either get this right or I can't do it.
Okay, gotcha.
So, but from your interpretation of that Satan is a legalist, I think that applies to everything, no matter if you're good at something or not.
He's a legalist. Yes, sir. So I see I'm going to have to extend this one more Sunday, all right? I'm not even going to try. Okay.
I just had kind of a question about your confessions in general. So I know where you're kind of leading us to, that you need to say things that are positive about yourself. And I had been doing that in some areas already. But I kind of felt like I was under conviction about it because I also know that it says that God opposes the proud. So if I say things like, say you had financial problems, you say, well, I'm rich. Do those two things jive together where if you say things that are, they may not be true right now in this instance, but they almost sound cocky?
Good question. So the scripture said God gives you the desires of your heart. So the very words that you are speaking are coming out of a God-guided heart. He wants you to be wealthy. You follow me?
Yeah.
It's a big difference. So the enemy comes in, and so if he can't destroy you by using God's words, he will pervert your thinking about God's words. You follow me? So, you know, like, for example, I hear it a lot with people once they start to get more mature. Notice I didn't say older. More mature. The doctors say, well, this is, you're supposed to have this pain because, you know, after all, you're 80. Well, who says that? So, you know, can't talk about how healthy I am. Riding a bike 5 miles, you know, a stationary bike. She didn't believe the lie. Miss Betty, are you still jogging? I know you're still walking around and moving. I know you're still active.
But I'm not jogging.
Okay. You're still active. We don't ask a woman their age, but I'm just saying those are two women that have not bought into perverting the word of God. Doctor tell you, you're 50-something years old, so you're supposed to have a prostate problem. Like, what? I'm walking divine hell. You follow me? Okay. All right. So man's words. Let's look at Matthew chapter 12, verse 36 through 37. I tell you, on the day of judgment, men will have to give account for every idle, inoperative, non-working word they speak. So guys, what does that mean? Let me get a mic. So we'll give account. And see, the Bible has multiple, the Bible is alive. So it's the only book that you can read where you can read it this week. And because you have grown a little, when you read the same verse, it's going to have a different connotation because you grew to fit the word. So it's the only literature. It's the only piece that grows, and it means things. So the day of judgment, not only is the day before we stand before God, but it also is the day that that situation manifests itself. So let's say you're in a situation, let me use me as the car piece. So I'm in that anger. I'm in that situation. That's the day of judgment. So I'm thinking how hard it's going to be to work on this car. And then all of a sudden my wife says, that's not in operation with you anymore. You're under a different anointing. So I could have spoke a inoperative, non-working word that says it's always going to be hard. Just like my dad said, Morgan's going to have a hard time. That's an inoperative word, a non-working word, in the sense that that's not what I want. See, he says he called things that be not, Teresa, as though it already exists. So I am a creator. So are you. Point to you. Touch yourself. It's all right. Touch yourself. Can y'all touch yourself? Ashley, what are you touching? You touch yourself? Okay, she's touching her nose. I'm talking about touch your chest. All right? Guys, it's okay to have fun at church. It's, all right. So your words are supposed to produce things. You're supposed to create that. You let go of yourself now. I know you let yourself now. I know you let. But check that thing out. So, all right, I'm going to say this and you write it down. I had to write it down. I've been counseling for over 20 years, and I've seen Christians that have been in the Lord a lot longer than me, 50 years. But one common denominator I've seen between a young Christian and a more mature Christian in age and in the Word is that once they get emotional, once anger kicks in or disappointment, they'll go to that inoperative, non-working word. But if that means that the Scripture talks about how when I thought evil, I put my hand over my mouth, there are certain times you just got to put your hand over your mouth. Because when you are in that anger state, you're going to say something that you can't take back. Like what you say, grandfather threw the milk cart? Mm-hmm. Yeah. So he did something. On the inside, he knew that was wrong. First of all, he wasted the milk. Then he hurting his grandson. But he put a word that he never... Because sometimes we're so angry when we say something, we don't even have the nerve to take it back. Because it went to the core of who that person was. See, that's what anger does. But that's the common denominator that I've seen between the babe in Christ and the most mature. There's once that emotion kicks in. So when I teach you guys, I teach you from the perspective of, so what happens when you are angry? And we feel like we better say something because, Lord forbid if I let them get away with something, right? Chase them out in the parking lot, security got to grab them. But see, that's the guy you got to look for. So repeat after me. I give myself permission to step away and not to say everything that I think, even when I'm angry. I'm disappointed. Okay? Give yourself. Amen? Just say, hey, look, brothers, I tell you, bro, I'm going to step away from this one. I'll be back tomorrow because you don't want to hear me today. But guys, okay, for by your words, you will be justified and acquitted. So you can get out of something by using productive and operating words instead of inoperative and non-working words. So for by your words, you will be justified and acquitted. And by your words, you will be condemned or sentenced. So you get out of something by your words. You get into something by your words. You follow me? Guys, let me just put this down. Just put this down, too. Tide words. Tide, you know, like you tied. Yeah. How many of y'all get irritable when you get tired? And hungry. Tired and hungry. Let's put tired and hungry words there. Okay? Marty, you got me? That's when you need to excuse yourself. Look, my wife used to tell me, Paul, just go to bed. Go to bed. Just go to bed. Sean, that's what she used to say. I'm irritable after a certain amount of time. I would come, this was mainly doing wedding photography. So Michelle and I, we with people for like 6 hours in the day. We come home. You got to put your equipment up. She cooked a hot meal. It's nice. But I'm tired. So finally, you know, when you get tired, what y'all do? You get snappy? How many of y'all get snappy when you get tired? What else y'all get when y'all get tired? What else y'all get? Be honest with me. Short, okay. All right, what else you get? Just mean. I appreciate the honesty. Put that on the mic, Ross, right here. Right here. Right here. We got to eat the dinner. So I repeat the question. So what happened when you get tired?
I'm just mean.
Just mean? That's it. Y'all looking at her nice little face and saying, how could she be mean? Yes, ma'am.
There's no filter.
Oh, no filter. Okay. Okay. All right.
They get critical.
Critical. Oh, looking for a fight. Yes, sir.
I get emotional and start crying.
Get emotional and start crying. Okay. All right. Got one over here.
I basically just shut down.
Just shut down. Yeah. You look at you, you talk, just shut down. Okay. Evelyn has left the building. But guys, this thing is serious about every inoperative. So I'm getting excited about this thing. All right, y'all write this down. Holy Spirit gave it to me last night. I've been doing some research on us. And I'm saying, Holy Spirit, what is it? How do we, notice I'm including myself, how do we keep doing the same thing? And he said, we don't change based off experience. We change based off decisions. So y'all write that down. We don't change based off experiences. So, you know, Curly and I, we spent credit cards. We credit card city. Want something? Charge it. Want something else? Charge that. The sale going on. Charge that. I remember one time we just charged a card just to ride. These are early days of marriage. You know, you learn after a while, after you make a decision. So credit card max out. Top gun, what we got to do? We got to get another one, but we got to pray first. We got to go back to church because we're not a member of a church. So run into the church and, Lord Jesus, help me. But what the more research I did, the more I found out that we don't change based off experiences. So we went through credit card debt at least 3 times. But then one day we made a decision not to get in credit card or any other debt. So we pay as we go. So just keep that in mind. If you're looking at people and you're talking to people and they talking about the same thing, they got in one thing and got out one thing and it went on and on and on, they're not changing based off experience. So it happened once, it happened again. And, you know, pretty much you can know the story they're going to tell you. Well, you know, Sally said such and such, such and such. And then you're saying, well, why don't you leave? Or why don't you such and such? But they're not going to learn based off experience. They're going to learn based off a decision. Remember the prodigal son? I mean, my boy in the mud. I mean, he got it going on at first, though. Because his family, he said, look, I'm tired of waiting on my inheritance. And I don't know how much money he had, but he had a lot of money. So he asked his dad, hey, look, give me my inheritance. He didn't tell his dad what he was going to do. His dad hoped he was going to buy a house, you know, get married, get a car, get an iPad, all that kind of stuff. And it's in biblical days, so y'all know that wasn't possible. And so what he said, no. Because, look, the number one lie, it might not be number one, but it's two or three, it is to tell the body of Christ they're missing something. Ooh. Because being in Christ is born. Y'all know that, right? That's what the lie we've been told is born. But anyway, so he goes out and he said, look, I'm going to where the party is. Studio 54, Studio 91, what's the name of the club? I know you went, so what's the name of the club? No. So I don't know, what's the name of the club in Richmond right now? I mean, y'all not discriminating yourself as you say, what's the name of the club, Lee? Who? What is? Hold on, the mic coming. He said, this is what he heard.
Clear that up.
Loft 7.
Loft 7?
Loft.
Loft.
7.
Loft 7. So the prodigal son, he said, what I'm going to do is I'm going to go to Loft 7. And then, you know, he started doing some drinking, some partying. Started, a little messing around with a couple women because one is not enough. Because, you know, the Bible says that sin is never satisfied. So that's why Lay's Potato Ship said, I bet you can't just eat one. So I bet you can't just have one. That's how what Loft 7, having the party. And then he spent all he had. That's what happened to the drinks. Dried up. So he had a little posse with him. Dried up. He had a couple women with him. So now he out in the he down in the pig little place, you know, with the pigs. Out with the pigs. So the pig eating slop, guess what? He went from eating steak to what? Slop. And how many of y'all know slop don't look good? So it's like, wow. So then what happened was he decided, he said, I tell you what, this is his self-talk. He said within himself, I will arise. I'm going to come out of this thing, and I'm going to go back home. And he had already planned what he was going to say. How many of us, when we know we're wrong, we plan what we're going to say? I'm the only one. Thank you, Will. Thank you, Will. You plan what you're going to say. And then Curly, she'll say, honey, you ain't got to go through all that. I forgive you. And I say, hallelujah. Okay? So he went back home. His dad was waiting on him, standing by the road. And all the things that he thought he was going to have to say, he never had to say anything. Guys, we don't have to say anything. Just, Father, help me. Father, forgive me. I'd like to have every head bowed and every eye closed. So as we run towards our Father, we have the reason, we have the excuse, we have what we're going to say, we know how we're going to say it, but all you're saying is just call on the name of Jesus. And all that will be wiped away, all our past will be wiped away, and you'll give us a new future. So while every eye is closed and every head is bowed, if that's you and you don't know Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior, and you made up excuses saying, well, I tell you what, I know this is how I'm going to do it. I'm going to do it this way. I'm going to do it on my own. I don't need any help. But you found out that you came to the end of yourself. If that's you, just slip up your hand. There's a second invitation. It's called the baptism of the Holy Spirit with evidence of speaking in tongues. I call him the Edge because, man, he's made a tremendous difference in my life. It allows me to lay hands on the sick, including myself, and to be healed. It allows me to speak in perfect prayer language, because there are times where we don't know what we need to say as we ought to. But he says that he'll take the things of God and show it unto us. He shows us how to live better. He shows us how to avoid trouble before it even comes. If that's you and you don't know how to, and you don't know about speaking in tongues, and believe it or not, you won't be rolling down the aisles, but you're in total control of when it starts and when it stops, that prayer language. If that's you and you want that additional, just slip up your hand. And last, but certainly not least, if you say, I'm looking for a faith home, that's a place where I can grow. That's a place where I can flourish. That's a place where if I'm missing for a little while, somebody's going to call and they're going to check up on me. They're going to reach out towards me. Because what I realize is that when you want to put something out, like a piece of charcoal that's well lit, and you put it by itself, it burns itself out. But if it stays with the group, it stays heated, it stays relevant, it stays anointed. So if that's you and you're looking for a faith home, a place where you can come, a place where you can use your gifts and talents, then just slip up your hand. So everybody born again, spirit-filled, and they got a church home? Amen. Thank you, guys. So I'll finish next week. Y'all believe it, right? All right. So let's do our closing confession. I stir up the gift that is within me by faith. I'm stirring up the power that is within me. I'm stirring up myself and running fear, procrastination, and every hindering spirit out of my personal and business affairs. I am ruled by my spirit. I tell my mind what to think and my body what to do, for I am a master of my emotions. I am a person of immediate action. I am steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord. These goals are my passion. I pursue them with enthusiasm and relentless determination. My feet are shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace. My loins are girded about with truth. I have on the breastplate of righteousness, the helmet of salvation, the shield of faith, and the sword of the Spirit, wherewith I quench every fiery dart of the wicked. And nothing shall by any means hurt me. No sickness, disease, incidents, or accidents can come nigh my dwelling. If I drink of any deadly thing, it shall not hurt me. 1,000 shall fall at my side, and 10,000 at my right hand, but it shall not come nigh my dwelling. I came to win, in Jesus' name. Amen.
This concludes today's message on Challenge to Change, where real transformation begins with you, with Pastor Paul Morgan. If you are ever in the Richmond, Virginia area, visit Pastor Paul for Sunday services at 11 a.m. at Chosen Generation Ministries, located at 5511 West Marshall Street, Richmond, Virginia, 23230. The telephone number is 866-333-9505. Or visit the website www.paulmorgan.org.
Listen to When Christians Speak Online Talk Radio on Blog Talk Radio, iHeartRadio, Spreaker.com. All of our broadcasts are available as podcasts through SoundCloud, YouTube, iTunes, Blueberry.com, Zoom.com, Stitcher.com, Lisbon.com, and BlogTalkRadio.com. To listen to our broadcast by phone, dial 646-478-0660. Again, that number is 646-478-0660. Go visit and like our Facebook page, When Christians Speak Talk Radio. Also be sure to check out Christians Against Suicide and Depression. It's a page dedicated to sharing God's love, encouragement, and hope. There are prayer warriors standing by to receive prayer requests, doing intercession for those under attack by the lie and deception of the devil. We know that the devil came to steal, kill, and destroy, but praise God, Jesus came to set the captives free.